How's everybody this morning on this like wonderful sunny Florida Sunday morning? Right? We don't have many mornings like this, and so we can't complain, right? I mean, I've seen what the weather's been doing up north, and I'm very happy down here. Amen? Just two quick things that I would reiterate that Robert mentioned. Next Sunday, obviously, a very important Sunday for us as a young church, and have a lot on our hearts to share with you all. And then, again, our Christmas Eve service, we're just looking forward to that opportunity to gather and just celebrate the birth of our Savior. The one thing that I would mention that wasn't mentioned this morning is that we are going to go with our annual cookie potluck that day, okay? So bring all those leftover cookies that, you know, you have from people giving them to you or whatever, sending them to you, and just, we're going to have fun after our service, just grabbing a few of those before we head off to whatever it is that you all do on Christmas Eve with your families. And so 4 o'clock Christmas Eve, we'd love you if you would join us, and that would be great. So open your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 6, and I wanted to pick up where Jason left off and draw our attention to the end of verse 2. And Paul simply says, he says, teach and preach these principles. Teach and preach these principles. We've seen this kind of language already a few times in 1 Timothy. We saw it in chapter 4, verse 11, when he said, prescribe and teach these things. We saw it last week in chapter 5, verse 7, where he said, prescribe these things as well. The ESV says to teach and command, or teach and exhort these things. It could also be translated. And so there are the things that as we open up God's Word together this morning that we seek to teach each week. And by that I would say that we're desirous that somebody would learn something. And then there are the things that each week as we open up God's Word together that we seek to preach or to exhort, and by that I mean that you maybe already understood it or have been taught it, but it's been void in your life and just haven't practiced it. And so there's the teaching aspect that any good preacher would love to teach so that you could learn about the God that we love and serve, but then there's the preaching aspect that would exhort you to practice the very things that we learn and teach as part of what God is doing here as a church. And so this morning, we're desirous to get after that. Look at the end of verse 2. He says, teach and preach these principles. And so if you would, stand with me in honor of the Word of God. Let's read verses 3 through 5 together. He says this, if anyone advocates a different doctrine and does not agree with sound words, those of the Lord Jesus Christ, and with the doctrine conforming to godliness, he is conceited and understands nothing. But he has a morbid interest in controversial questions and disputes about words, out of which arise envy, strife, abusive language, evil suspicions, and constant friction between men of depraved mind and deprived of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. Let's pray. Father God, we come this morning to your word. Father, both acknowledging that we are unworthy of your grace and we are in need of your Spirit to understand this morning, God. And so we gather with a desire to do that, to teach and to preach your truth. Would you take that and ascribe it to our hearts, God, as we seek to honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Go ahead and have a seat. Our big idea is going to be simple this morning. No real points this morning. One big theme that we're going to kind of pound through the rest of this message is that false doctrine is contagious to those who haven't been vaccinated with the truth. False doctrine is contagious to those who haven't been vaccinated with the truth. Now, we've kind of entered into flu season in Central Florida, amen? And how many of you have been already under the weather a little bit? And how many of you are staying away from those that just raised their hands, okay? And so people always say to me, hey, Pastor, if you're going to be around people and you're shaking their hands all the time and doing this and that, have you got your flu shot yet? Could I just be transparent with you for a moment? Because there's twice in my life that I got a flu shot. And no offense, Greg, I know you work for vaccination people. That's cool. But I was sicker than a dog those 2 years. I don't even know what that means. But my dog was sick this week, and he threw up a few times. But that was nothing. I was sick, okay, those 2 years I got vaccines. And so I decided I'm going to go without, and I probably just cursed myself this year. So, Jason, get ready to preach. But, no, in all seriousness, right? But here's the deal. False teaching is no flu bug. False teaching ain't no flu bug. It is far more contagious and far more detrimental to our eternal state. And so this morning, our call, our exhortation is to listen up. Because false teaching is contagious to those who haven't been vaccinated with the truth. What I mean by vaccinated with the truth, well, simply this, that you have embraced Jesus Christ by faith and that you are walking in His Word. That's what we mean by vaccinated with the truth. And so we begin, he says this. He says, if anyone advocates a different doctrine. The word if there is just kind of an interesting word. It doesn't mean that there's a question mark to it. He's not saying, if this were to happen, here's what I want you to do. He's already acknowledged that false teaching exists. He did in chapter 1. And so we know that false teaching is going on. He's had to remove a couple men from his church already. And so he's saying, if almost as in since then, false teaching is going on in your midst, let me just tell you what's going to happen and what you need to do. Okay, and so this morning he says, if anyone advocates a different doctrine. What do we mean by that? Well, the word different there, it means not the same as. It's different. It comes from a compound word that comes from two Greek words. The first one being heteros, meaning other. Other, which is where we get our word heterosexual, male, female, different. Okay? And so that's what he's saying here. It's a different doctrine. Heteros, and then diakaleo, which is to teach. So it's a different teaching, to teach a different doctrine. We saw it in chapter 1, verse 3. Paul encouraged Timothy. He said, hey, when I leave Macedonia, I need you to stay here. I need you to stay behind. I need you to continue to teach and exhort. Why? Because there are certain men that are teaching strange doctrines, paying attention to myths and into the genealogies. That's what he told them. That's what he exhorted them just in chapter 1. And so say, okay, Pastor, like, I get it. We've got to watch out for these things in our midst. So how do we identify them? What do we look for? What are we kind of after? Well, one of the ways that we identify false teaching or false doctrine or even false teachers is by identifying the things that they promote and saying, do they line up or do those things align with the Word of God? Well, what are those things? And do they align with God's truth? And what do we know and understand about these false teachers? In verse 3, it's quite simple. There's three truths. We've already mentioned the first one, is that they advocate or they teach a different doctrine. What do you mean by that? Well, there's some in the church today that are out there preaching and teaching theistic evolution. There are some out there teaching and preaching who are women. That's a different doctrine than what we've learned in 1 Timothy. There's some who are preaching and teaching that the resurrection took place, that there is no resurrection, that the return of Christ isn't going to happen, that the authority of Scripture isn't that strong. That's out there. In fact, here's how they do that. They say this. They say, I believe that the Bible contains the Word of God. Did you hear that? There's a subtlety there, isn't there? The Bible doesn't contain the Word of God as if portions of it are God's Word and other portions are not. The Bible is the Word of God. Okay? So if you ever hear somebody say the Bible contains the Word of God, run from them. Flee from them. That is after you exhort them and tell them they're wrong. Right? That's what it means to advocate and teach a different doctrine. There's a second truth about false teachers is that they disagree with sound words. Look on in the text. He says this. Verse 3 says it, and does not agree with sound words, those of our Lord Jesus Christ, and with the doctrine conforming to godliness. He does not agree with sound words. You say, well, what are sound words? I knew I always loved sound words, and I loved sound doctrine, but let me just tell you what the word sound means that I learned this week that even makes me even more excited about it. But the word sound comes from a Greek word from which we gather our English word hygiene, right? And the germ freak that I am, that you all know that, I love sound words. I love the word sound because you want to know why? It's healthy. It's healthy. They're healthy words, words to bring spiritual health. Remember, false doctrine is contagious to those who haven't been vaccinated with the truth. You want to know what the sound words are? They're the truth. They're healthy words. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, he said this, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to your salvation. Long for it. Desire it. Like a newborn. Now, I'm looking around the room, and there's a lot of moms in the room, and a lot of people that were moms in the room. And how does a newborn long for milk when they're hungry? I mean, I love my grandson, but Timothy doesn't say, hey, Poppy, I see you got the a little bit more agility right now, and so could you just get up from that couch you're sitting on and walk over to the kitchen? There's that bottle over there that's sitting there on the rack, and could you go ahead and make up that formula and then come on back and feed the hole that's in my stomach? Right? That's not like what the newborn says when he's actively longing for his food, is it? No, because first of all, he can't even talk. Right? What does he do? Ah! I'm hungry! Right? I'm desirous. I'm after it. I'm going after it. I'm longing for it. That's the kind of thing that we ought to have for the milk of God's Word so that we long for it. We desire it. And we press on to maturity and eventually the milk becomes meat. So we might grow. Could I say this, that we will not grow spiritually without a longing for sound words. And so false teachers, false doctrine, they disagree with sound words. There's a third thing that they disagree with, and that is that false teaching does not produce godliness. It does not produce godliness. Look here, it says, And they disagree, they do not agree with sound words, those of our Lord Jesus Christ, and with doctrine conforming to godliness. See, anybody who's teaching a doctrine that is different than what Paul was exhorting Timothy and now us to teach and preach, a doctrine that doesn't agree with sound words, will be promoting falsities. That's what they're promoting. They do not lead to godliness. And the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, has the power to produce in us everything that God desires for you and me to become. Everything. And so we have to understand sound words, because sound words produce godliness. It is the byproduct of their truth. And so what does Paul say of the ones that are propagating such falsities? First, he says this. He says, in verse 4, he says, he is conceited and understands nothing. He's conceited. He's puffed up. He's prideful. We saw the same word used in chapter 3, verse 6, when he was speaking about the qualifications for an elder. He said, do not lay hands too quickly on somebody who's a new convert. Why, Paul? Because if you do, they might become conceited. They might become prideful. They might become puffed up. And these false teachers, guess what? They're prideful. They're puffed up. They're conceited. You ever go saltwater fishing? I know some of y'all love that, right? And catch one of those kind of blow-up fishes, those puffers, whatever they're called. Those things are ugly. They're the ugliest fish. They get out of the water, right? and it's like me on steroids. You know, it's like they just go and they're ugly. And did you know that that's a sign of pride? They're sticking it at you. They're like, check me out, right? And did you know that those guys are dangerous? They're extremely dangerous. They have all kinds of poison in them. 1,200 times the amount of cyanide poisoning. They have the capacity to kill 30 human beings. Puffed up. Conceited. That's dangerous. Pride is dangerous and deceptive. And could I just say to you this morning, it is always present in those who are teaching falsely. It is always present in those who are teaching falsely. Started with the enemy, right? You remember back to Isaiah chapter 14, the enemy who wanted to be better than God. And in Isaiah 14, he says, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself the Most High. It reminds me of the folks in Babel when they said, let us make a great name for ourselves. Listen, you don't need to make a name for yourself. Your name exists under the grace of God as a child of God. He has accomplished a great name, and our desire is to make His name famous, not our name famous. Who cares about us? What we care about is Him. Let's lift Him up. And this is a real problem. We begin to make ourselves like God. You say, well, I don't really do that. Be careful. Be careful. You know how we do that? We say, I know that God, you say in your word that we're to do X, Y, and Z, but today, you know, kind of my feelings are kind of A, B, and C. You think God cares about your feelings? In that regard, if you're disobedient to His word? And then he says, another way that we do that is that we say this. We say, I know God, you say that whatever it is in your word that you say, whatever it is that the enemy is tempting you to do, I shouldn't lie, or I shouldn't covet, or I shouldn't commit adultery. You fill in the blank with whatever it is, the temptation that's on your heart and mind this morning. I know, God, you say, I shouldn't do that, but I know you want me to be happy, God, so that makes me happy. Can I just remind you that God doesn't really want you to be happy? What God wants you to be is holy. God wants you to be holy. There's not a verse in all of Scripture that says He wants you to be happy. He says, be holy as He is holy. That's what He's exhorted us to. And sometimes it's not always happy to be holy. But it will be. It will be because there's great hope, right? There's great hope for us who have been vaccinated in the truth. So we don't want to have a prideful attitude. We want to have a puffed up attitude. We don't want to be conceited like Paul mentions in Colossians 2, verse 18. He says, it's even possible to be inflated without cause by our fleshly minds. Without cause. How sad is that? Like, to think that you're something when you really are nothing at all and you've never even done anything. Without cause. Go on. Look at the second thing. Notice the second thing that we see about false teachers is that they understand nothing. They're foolish. Not only are they conceited and prideful, but they're foolish. They're stupid. They're fools, the Bible says. I mean, what could be worse than one who is prideful, puffed up, full of foolishness, teaching falsities? What could be worse than that? A prideful fool. Romans 1 says that in verse 22, it says, professing to be wise, they became fools, exchanging the glory of the incorruptible God for the image in the form of the corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals. We sang about glory in the highest. His glory in the highest. Why would we ever exchange that for anything of man? Notice, he continues, he says this. He is conceited and understands nothing, but has a morbid interest in controversial questions and disputes about words. The word there, morbid, is kind of the opposite of our word sound. Sound is a healthy word. Morbid is a sickly word. It's a sickly word. He's morbidly interested in controversial questions and disputes about words. You ever meet somebody like that? You ever know someone that they just love controversy? In fact, they're not happy unless they're involved in some kind of controversy. And they're just stirring up all kinds of strife and envy and disputes and all kinds of issues because they love that. They just love to disagree. Carla and I one time went to some friends of ours in England to their house for dinner. True story, they brought the sheriff of Nottingham to their house for dinner that night to join us. And another couple. And so we sat around the table at this house, and it was a very nice dinner. But the entire evening, they argued. They'd known each other for 25, 30 years, these couples, some even more than that. And they argued the whole night. Like, it didn't matter. Like, if the sky was blue, the guy would say it was green. If the guy would say it was yellow, they just argued the whole night. They got up from the table at the end of the dinner. They gave each other a hug. Love you, man. Can't wait to see you next week. You know, same time, same bat channel, whatever. I got in the car. I said to Carl, I said, if we ever go to somebody's house and are treated like these people just treated one another, we're never going back. It's unbelievable. They just love disagreeing. They love controversy. There are some people like that. And it's destructive. It's extremely destructive. You ever been in a church like that? Where the main thing was something other than Jesus Christ? You go to a church and all of a sudden all they're talking about, all that you hear about is their children's program or some adoption program or some other emphasis that isn't Jesus Christ. Here's a true story. I had a friend years and years ago. He went to this church and the church was advocating the fact that the taxes that we pay to the IRS are voluntary, so therefore don't pay. That was their like mantra. That was what they were all about. Guess what? That pastor's in jail. Go ahead. See how that works for you. Could I just say it's dangerous? It also doesn't promote godliness. The other thing it doesn't promote is unity. See, the enemy is all about destroying unity and replacing it with toxicity. I've seen it in the past for sure. I've walked through it in the past for sure. And we have to guard our church. We have to be in unity with one another and be humble, because humility is, you know, unity is like in the middle of humility, right? You can't have unity without humility. Look on in verse 4, he says this. He says, out of which, all of this controversy and these disputes about words, and out of which, it's almost like birthed from, they come out of, arises envy. There's kind of a progression here, if you just will. Envy, which then leads to strife. Well, envy in the church, what's that look like, Pastor? Well, somebody doesn't like that somebody else is advancing in whatever capacity, or maybe there's someone that's a better teacher than somebody else and they get more ops, and maybe there's somebody that's a better singer than somebody else and they get more ops, and why could that guy lead worship and I can't really worship, and why can I not lead a small group when that person can lead a small group? And it starts to build and build and build, and envy leads to strife, right? And then strife leads to what? Abusive language. You know what that is? That's slander. There's a good one. You ever hear that in a church? Uh-huh. Yeah. And then here's another one. It leads, that abusive language, that slander, then leads to evil suspicions. Now we start reading other people's motives. Look out. Look out. We have no capacity to do that, church. And then it goes on. He says this. Evil suspicions and constant friction between men of depraved mind and deprived of the truth. Depraved minds and deprived of the truth. One author noted this after looking at this sentence. He said this, envy is the inward discontent with the advantages of popularity enjoyed by others. It results in strife, which often manifests itself in abusive language of slander and insult. That abusive language consists of evil suspicions, which means to ascribe evil motives to somebody. The net result of false teaching is constant friction. False teachers constantly rub each other wrong way. That helps spread the spiritual disease, much like sheep might rub together and infect each other. False teaching can never produce unity. It doesn't. And so, what happens? We have depraved minds and deprived of the truth. Well, depraved mind is an unregenerate false teacher mind. Unregenerate, a depraved mind is one that is, like Romans 8 says, the mindset on the flesh is not a friend of God. What does it say? The mindset on the flesh is hostility towards God. Right? That's what a depraved mind is. And what about the one who's deprived of the truth? What happens there? Well, this is where the truth is like, the word deprived means almost like to rob from, to steal from, to take from, to go astray from. It's almost like I was there, like Hebrews 6 says, there was an enlightenment, but then there was never any arresting by the truth. And so they go astray. We see it in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 18. It says, men who have gone astray from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already taken place, and they upset the faith of some. In 2 Timothy 3, 7, he says this, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's what people who have a deprived of the truth mindset look like. So why do they do this? What's the motive? What are they after? Look on, he says this. He says, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. Personal gain. Envy, which leads to strife, which leads to slander, which leads to reading other people's motives, which leads to friction and toxicity. Why? For personal gain. God forbid that happens in this church. God forbid that happens in this church. But could I just say this? There is always that mentality of one that is seeking after their own goodness, their own gain. And we have to guard against one like that. We have to put up a hedge of protection against people like that. We cannot hear people like that. We cannot listen to people like that. We have to call them out because they lead others into wrong places. For their own personal gain, their own godliness, means of gaining. In this situation, it has a lot to do with wealth. People that were desirous to use godliness or the attempt of godliness as a means for wealth and personal gain. We see that in our world, don't we? Prosperity gospel, it's all over the place, right? You give a dollar, he gives two. You give three, he gives six. You give four, he gives eight, right? That's what you're told. I say something? We give to the Lord, never expecting to get anything in return, because we've received all that we ever need from Him. We give out of gratitude because we have already gained. Amen? So there's no personal gain in godliness. That way, next week we're going to hear a little bit about some personal gain in godliness, but it won't be in terms of wealth. Okay? Tim Challis compared false doctrines with sound doctrine in a way that I just think describes it well and can help us finish our message here this morning. But he says this. He says, false doctrine prevents godliness while sound doctrine promotes godliness. False doctrine promotes sin or condones sin while sound doctrine prevents sin or confronts sin. False doctrine elevates ungodly living, right? It's in one of the reasons why false doctrine is so prevalent in the church today is because if you're in sin, you're looking for somebody that's going to stand and teach you, supposedly from the Word of God, that your sin is not sin. That really sounds great, doesn't it? But it's false. It's not true. And so false doctrine elevates ungodly living while sound doctrine qualifies godly leadership. False doctrine permits false teachers, while sound doctrine protects against false teachers. False doctrine removes God's blessing, while sound doctrine ensures God's blessing. False doctrine debilitates the church for times of difficulty, while sound doctrine equips the church for times of difficulty. We see that, right? And we're going to see that as we get into 2 Timothy next spring, this spring, when those who want to have their ears tickled, right? Debilitated for the future difficulty to come. False doctrine weakens the future church, while sound doctrine strengthens the future church. That's why Paul in 2 Timothy 2:2 says, "These things that I have taught you, entrust those to faithful men." Why? So that they may teach others also. Four generations right there, four generations. Paul, Timothy, teach to others so that they may teach others, right? Four generations. That's the charge, discipleship. So we'd be strengthened for the future. So what do we do? So what do, church? We train ourselves in sound doctrine. That's what we do. We train ourselves in sound doctrine. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4:6, we looked at it a few weeks ago. He said, we are constantly being nourished in the words of faith. In the words of the faith, constantly being nourished to know sound doctrine and to have the ability to know the Word of God. But to do that, guess what? It requires us to instill some habits into our life, doesn't it? We have to instill some habits into our life that maybe haven't been in place. And could I just encourage you to do that? Like, what are the patterns in your life right now? Where's that newborn longing for the sound words of God? What are you doing for that in your life? Let me just say this. If this wrote a diary, if your Bible wrote a diary, what would it read? Might it read, "Hey, Sunday morning from 10 to 11:30 was in the church, heard the word preached, worshiped the Lord. It was amazing. Actually had a highlighter highlight me. It was really great. They actually took a pen and wrote next to me this, this, and this. Sound words is cleanliness, hygiene, good." But Monday, I was still in the back seat of the car. Tuesday, got moving in the car, but didn't get out of the back seat. Wednesday, the kids were headed to youth group. And really excited because I thought I might get out of the back seat, and I did. I got moved to the front seat to make room for the kids. Didn't leave the front seat Wednesday night. Thursday, front seat. Friday, front seat. A Friday night came, and family was going out for dinner and a movie, and so the front seat was needed, and guess where I got placed? On the dash. And I rode Friday night out, and Saturday morning and Sunday came. But I got back into church Sunday morning. Would that be the diary of your Bible? Oh, God forbid. God forbid, because I'm telling you right now, there's great danger, if that is, in your life, to be infected and affected by false doctrine. And it's far more contagious than the flu. And so here's the thing. We need to read the Word. We need to read the Word. We need to ponder the Word. Don't just read like multiple chapters and go away and not understand. Read small bits and ponder it all day. Think about it. Meditate on it. What is He saying? How can I ask the Spirit of God to give me wisdom in that? And then live consistent to His Word. Live consistent to His Word. And the fourth thing we need to do is we need to be a Berean. We need to be like those in Acts chapter 17. You can look at it later in verse 11, I think it is, where they actually examine the things that they're hearing others speak and teach from the Word of God. And this cannot and will not happen without discipline. And can I remind you this morning that it won't happen overnight? But could I instill just a little bit of hope into your heart and mind this morning? It will involve small doses over a consistent period of time. And guess what? Over that time, as you continue to allow your mind to be trained in sound truth and sound words, you will see the fruit of righteousness. And God will be glorified. And so I thought we would finish off our service a little bit different. You're thinking to yourself, you got the notes today, and it said Family Feud. Like, what in the world was Family Feud? That wasn't a message in the Family Feud. So we wanted to do something a little bit different to finish our service off, just to kind of help reiterate a little bit about false doctrine versus true doctrine. And so I've got a couple teams already selected. Teams, why don't you guys come on up? We're going to play a little quick game of Family Feud. Eric, why don't your team stand on this side right here? Greg, give me your team right here. All right. You got a mic here?
Okay.
Okay, Greg, why don't you introduce your team to us?
All right, I got Becky, the real deal Tish. I got Lindley, my wife, Palmer. I got Dean Tish and Jim Sprinkles.
All right, you stacked the team, didn't you? You've got no chance. All right. Eric, what do you got here?
I got some peoples. Here I got Miss Gretel, I got Mr. Lewis, Miss Linda, and Mr. Dink. Linda.
Wee. All right.
I knew that.
All right, so we're going to go through three questions today. And the first question, we're going to do a little different than what they do, because the first question, I'm going to give you all a chance to kind of just chime in and answer, just to warm you up a little bit, all right? First question I'm going to tell you is really easy, and then the second two questions are a little bit tougher, okay? So first question this morning is things forbidden by man that God allows.
Ding.
Alcohol.
Do I see alcohol? Yeah, number one.
Boom. Go team.
Things forbidden by man that God allows.
Ding.
No, they don't have a mic for
this.
Here. We're just having fun. Go ahead.
Dancing,
ding. Number two. All right, things forbidden by man that God allows.
Movies.
Let me see movies. Yes. All right. Things forbidden by God by man that God allows.
Ladies wearing pants.
Well, let me just say that might fall under the final one, jewelry, because that's kind of like accessory, clothing, jewelry. Okay. Give me five. Yes. All right. Last.
Smoking.
Smoking. Do I see smoking? No. Things forbidden by man that God has allowed. Anybody?
Certain music.
Woo! Okay. Okay. Anybody got a coin? I forgot a coin. Anyone have a coin? Excellent. All right. Eric, heads or tails? Go.
Tails.
It's tails. No, this is a quarter. George, you got a quarter? I thought it might be a pound. Thank you. Okay.
Here's the question.
You guys have it.
Okay.
Sound doctrine that are under attack today in our culture, in our church, or the church.
Sexuality. Proper relationships.
Okay.
Not under attack. Okay.
They didn't make the top seven. Let me just say, four pastors surveyed and one wife, okay? All right, so that's our survey.
All right.
Ding.
Yeah, we get three strikes.
Sound doctrine's under attack today. In the church.
Deity of Christ.
Let me see. Deity of Christ. Yes.
Okay.
Institution of marriage.
Institution of marriage. Is it up there? No. It's a good one, though. It didn't make the top seven.
Who are these pastors?
Yeah.
Resurrection.
Let me see. Is resurrection up there? Yes. Stayed alive. Vink. Sound doctrine in the church under attack today.
Creation.
Creation. Is it there? Number one. Okay, Eric. Back to you.
Word of God is the Bible is fully and ultimately God's word.
Okay. Do I see the authority of God's word? Yes. All right.
Can we do inerrant?
No, that would fall under there. That would not be. So. Okay.
We got three,
come quickly.
Two, one. All right. Guess who steals?
Chance to steal. Sound doctrine under attack today in the church.
Jesus is the only path to salvation.
Do I see exclusivity of Christ? Amen. Point. Point. Don't worry. They got a tough question. Come. All right. Hi.
Hi.
How you guys doing?
I heard Jason helped write these questions. Is that true?
Hey, no.
No? No? Okay. He helped with some of the answers, though. Okay, false doctrine being introduced into the church in our society today.
Prosperity gospel.
Do we see prosperity gospel? Yes. Woo! Becky Tisch.
Oh, does it have to be?
Yeah, yeah. We're moving down the row here, girl. You don't get out of it. You can't just stand here and clap when you make your thing.
Homosexuality is not a sin.
Okay. Do we see anything with homosexuality? Oh, no.
True, though.
All right. Mother Lindley from Windermere. What? Sister Lindley.
Sister Mary Lindley?
Yes.
If you're a good person, everybody will go to heaven.
Okay,
you
okay.
Just have to do good works.
Works salvation. Yes. Dino, false doctrine being introduced in the church.
Women pastors?
Do we see women pastors? Nope. That was like number eight.
God's word not sufficient.
God's word not sufficient.
Good one.
God's word not sufficient. Is it up there? No.
That's your mistake.
A chance to steal.
He should have had it up there.
It was number nine.
A chance to steal. Come on. I really don't want you to win this because if you do, I'd have no tiebreaker. Okay? So you got three things on the board. You got to give me a good guess. I'm just kidding. I'd love you to win this.
Huh? I'll just say relative morality.
Relative morality.
That God's word isn't truth. It's not an infallible truth.
Okay, audience. False doctrine being introduced into the church. Let me hear something. Do we have theistic evolution? Yes.
Oh, that's what I meant.
What else? What else? Legalism. Do we have legalism? Yes. That's already covered with the, that was in the last one. That was in the last one. There it is. Replacement theology. Ladies. I put that in there just for you guys. Okay. Thank you. All right. Can we give these guys a round of applause? So, There it is, right? Like, put into practice. You know, false teaching is contagious to those who have not been vaccinated with the truth of God's word. So my prayer for you is that you would be a people who are continuously nourished on the words of the faith. Right? 1 Timothy 4:6. So let me just have a closing word of prayer, and then we're going to finish our service off and worship the Lord together. Father, we thank you for your truth. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to even have some fun. And we thank you for even the rain that nourishes our land and produces for us that which we drink. And Lord, we are so thankful for every blessing. We pray, God, that you would just help us to be a people who are arrested by your truth, who are in love with sound words and reject morbid conversations and wrangling and quibbling over words that leads to envy, strife, abusive language. And God, would you put a hedge of protection around us as a community of faith, as an uncommon community of faith, that we would be committed to unity and to godliness, and that you would receive the glory. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.